Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon and welcome to Light of the World Christian Tabernacle International Noonday Prayer. We are so glad that you've tuned in today.
We're going to have an awesome time in the Lord today. God is good,
and His mercy endures forever. We give Him praise, we give Him honor, we give Him glory. We magnify His name because truly God is good. And He is good all the time. And we know that He is to be praised, and His name is glorified.
We thank God for everything that He's doing with us and through us. We pray today that we get opportunity to understand a little bit more what God wants us to do concerning the book of Acts. We know that that book of Acts is concerned with the acts of the Holy Spirit.
Father God, we thank you right now that you open up our minds, our knowledge, our wisdom. God, pour your spirit into us. Teach us you so we can know you so much better, God. We can love you so much more, and we'll share your best. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 God, for this day that the Lord has made, we give Him praise, we give Him honor, we give Him glory. Thank God for all of you who are tuned in today. Those who are tuning in online, we are so glad that you are here today. We're going to unmute all your lines, so be careful on your background noise. All your lines will be unmuted so we can hear everything you say. We want you to participate in this, and we are studying today the book of Acts, the 22nd chapter. And we're going to be beginning at the sixth verse. So we want to just give some ground on what has happened with the book of where we are in 22nd. We are so grateful. We see Paul was on his way back to Jerusalem. He's gotten back to Jerusalem. And after a whole lot of prophecy about what's going to happen, when he got to Jerusalem, he did not deter from going because he was warned that when he gets to Jerusalem, there will be some trouble. And so he fully persuaded he was going to do whatever God has him to do. And this guy, Jew from Asia, came and Paul as a trouble. And that he's teaching against the people of God. And they apprehended him, and they had a big going on, a civil going on. And so after the Romans heard about this commotion, and so they came, and they arrested him, brought him into and tried to find out what is. And then at the end of chapter 24, 21st chapter, where Paul opportunity to speak to God, they began to understand where Paul was at and trying to figure out. They thought Paul was from a part of the country. Thought this Paul was this guy who's always going from city, cause of trouble. When they found out that Paul, the security, they okay, we're not going to buy. But Paul, at this time, sees an opportunity to present the gospel. Hallelujah. Today, come against strangers. We come against people. You call them haters or whatever you want to call them. Come up against them. We shouldn't get bitter with them. We should not try to avoid them. Because everything is open to the opportunity for us to express them. Because
Jesus said on
the cross, forgive them, but they don't know what they want. So when somebody comes to you, they don't know what they do. But Paul uses this as an opportunity to speak and present the gospel eyes. And we see where the apostles and, on the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Ghost came, they said, why are these guys talking? They're not from these places, but they speak in the language. What's wrong with them? Uproar came. But when the uproar came, it gave Peter an opportunity to just preach the gospel. So when stuff comes into your life, contrary, seem like you, please seize the opportunity to present the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen? And so we see the first one through five of Acts 22 is Paul then the centurion then to speak to the crowd. They had settled down a little bit because the centurion now can give Paul permission to speak. And so when got up, you got to know what to say, how to get led by the Spirit of God. And so we, Paul got and what he did was the same statement or the same salutation that we see in use before he was stoned. We see the same thing happening. Okay? And so what happens is now that he said, men, brethren, and fathers, hear ye my defense. Where they now can see and hear that, okay, he's one of us, right? And so after that, he began to say who he was and began to testify, but he laid the foundation that, listen, I'm Saul of Tarsus, okay? I'm a Jew born in a Roman county or whatever you want to call it, region, Roman region. And he began to say, I was trained with Gomel. I was trained under an awesome teacher that you all know about. And what he began to say was really what really got to me. He said, and I was zealous towards God just like you guys are. So now when you testify, when you make a testimony, you should not testify about something that don't relate to the person you're talking to. If you used to be a prostitute and you're dealing with somebody who's on drugs or alcohol, they're not going to relate to what you're talking about because it's two different things. But Paul said, like, I was zealous just like you. Are you trying to bring me up? You were trying to kill me? I did the same thing, so I understand you. And so when we testify, we got to make sure that our testimony is not far out so they can say, well, what are you talking about? And don't have a clue what you're talking about. When that testimony needs to be relevant to the person you're talking to. That testimony needs to hit home with the person you're talking to. Because if I'm on alcohol, I don't need you to tell me about I'm abusing my family. I mean, that don't have nothing to do with me unless the alcohol is making me do that. That's something else. So when we testify, we see now Paul is testifying, but he's using something that's relevant to the crowd. What you doing to me? I'm getting it back to me today. Because this is what I did. I used to just grab, I used to go to cities after cities with a letter from the high priest. And I used to have them, the men and women, and pull them out of houses. So the same thing you're doing to me right now, so I understand why you're doing what you're doing. And so when you do that, now you get people's ear. They're more willing now to listen to you because now it's relevant. What you're saying is relevant, and we now have everybody online. We have your line unmuted, so you feel free to anything while we're teaching this lesson. But I'm just giving you a background before we get to verse 6, how Paul beginning to teach now on his what God wanted him to say. But he's laying a foundation. See, sometimes people, your words only have impact on people who believe what you're saying.
Mm-hmm.
Only who can relate to what you're saying. So we got to be careful when we testify, when we share something with somebody, it has to be relevant.
Mm-hmm.
And the good thing about it, the Holy Ghost will let you know what to say and how to say it. So when you do say it, because the Holy Ghost wants you to have the impact.
Mm-hmm.
He don't want you just be saying something. He's the one who stirred this to begin with.
That's right.
So now you have an audience. You have a congregation to preach to. Woo! And, you know, it's amazing how some preachers want to try to get the pastor to let them preach. Let me preach. Why are you preaching all the time? But the thing is that we all have our own pulpit. Wherever you are, whoever you were with, that's your pulpit. You have an opportunity every day to preach. You ain't got to wait till Sunday. You ain't got to wait till Wednesday. You have every day that you can preach the gospel because God going to present you a congregation.
That's right.
You know what? Your best pulpit is out there.
That's right.
Your best pulpit is outside.
Amen.
Not inside of the building.
That's right. That's
mm-hmm.
right.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. Mm-hmm. And so because when the pastor preach here, it's to fill you up so you can go out.
Mm-hmm.
It's to disciple you so you can be deployed.
That's right.
And so a lot of people just want a podium.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But you don't need a podium. Jesus ain't had no podium.
Mm-hmm.
Several times you see him went to the synagogue, but most of the time he was out. He was on a boat. He was in the mountains. He was in his far terrain. One time he was so far out of the way that they had no food to feed the people.
Oh.
And they couldn't run in town and get it right quick.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so Jesus used wherever he was. So we have to know that God would present us with a congregation to preach to.
Mm-hmm.
And that congregation might be one person. It might be two. It might be five. But it's who God wants you to teach. Who God wants his word to find. And this gospel ain't about us. Oh, my God.
Mm.
This gospel is not about us. It's about God trying to reach his people. God trying to rescue somebody. God trying to deliver somebody. God trying to help somebody. That's what the gospel is about. It's not for you to have some accolades, or that you're a good preacher, you're a good orator, you know how to pronounce your words. No, it's about who you're reaching.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's why Paul say, I speak in tongues more than all of y'all, but if it don't reach nobody, what good is it?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So whatever you do, let it be unto the glory of God.
Mm-hmm.
And so Paul is laying a foundation. The Holy Ghost is allowing him to lay a foundation. So whatever he say now, because
mm-hmm.
the Bible says they even got even the more quiet.
Mm-hmm.
So now he got the attention.
Mm-hmm.
They know they are ready now to receive because ain't no use teaching and the heart, people don't have the heart to receive.
Mm-hmm.
They can have ears to hear,
mm-hmm.
but if they don't have a heart to receive, it's going on stony ground.
Right.
So the Holy Ghost, though, would allow you to water that ground.
Mm-hmm.
So when you put that seed in,
mm-hmm.
it's going to find you. Now, those who don't want to hear it,
mm-hmm.
it ain't for them.
Mm-hmm.
Because whatever God got for you is for you.
Mm-hmm.
So tonight, today, we hope and pray that all of you who are on the line, we thank God for all of you
mm-hmm.
Tuning in to today, amen, on this Wednesday afternoon, that we can get into the Word of God, Acts, the 22nd chapter, and we begin reading at the 6th verse. And we're going to call those even online to read also. So be ready to read. Get your Bible out and be ready to read. Amen?
Amen.
So we're going to start in the house. We're going to have Sister Ollie do verse 6.
Okay, Acts 22, 6 and 7. About noon, as I came near Damascus, suddenly a bright light from heaven flashed around me. I fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to me, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" Okay, I agree with what you were saying earlier. Paul is like he's giving his testimony of what is going on. He laying the foundation now. No doubt, some of his surrounding, the people who are around him,
mm-hmm.
they know some things about his background
mm-hmm.
in the past.
Mm-hmm.
So that's another thing we got to look at. It's not so much what you say out of the mouth.
Mm-hmm.
People watch our action.
Mm-hmm.
And if our action is not lining up with what we are speaking,
mm-hmm.
they begin to look at those things.
Mm-hmm.
So no doubt he probably got some haters out there
mm-hmm.
Hoping that he's going to fall,
mm-hmm.
hoping that what he is saying is not true. But Paul said, no, back then I did those things, but you're going to see I'm not the same man.
That's
because
right.
he said around noon, I'm giving you specific time.
Yeah.
It's something about the noontime hour.
Uh-huh.
He said around noon, he said that's when the change came about.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I became a different person. Mm-hmm. And he said when I was knocked down, when I got back up, I did not come back up the same way
right.
when I went down. So I'm going to leave that one.
Well, that's good. That's good. Another thing, you know, when we are witnessing, when people can relate, you can relate to what they are going through, and they can relate with what you're going through, that is what was happening right there.
Mm-hmm.
So it was really a two-way street right there where he was relating. They was able to listen to him because he was talking the talk. They could relate to what he was saying, and he could relate to what they were saying.
Mm-hmm. Amen, amen. So we see Paul now. He already told him. You know, when we talk to an unbeliever, we can't act like we always had it together.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
You know, we came out of our mother's womb speaking
mm-hmm.
in tongues.
Mm-mm.
You know what I'm saying? We got to let them know. Listen, I was lost.
Mm-hmm.
But now I'm found. You know, I was back there too. So Paul already told him that. Now, I've been where you are.
Mm-hmm.
I understand it. But here's what happened to me.
Mm-hmm.
And my desire is for the same thing to happen to you.
Mm-hmm.
But here's what happened to me. He said I was on my way to
mm-hmm.
continue my zealousness
mm-hmm.
for God.
Yeah.
I wasn't stopping. I didn't have no desire to stop. I was on my way to do what I was normally doing. But God.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody say, but God.
But God.
Woo,
but
my God.
God.
Mm-hmm. And then he says, suddenly a noonday.
Mm-hmm.
And this we have the noonday hour right now. Where there was suddenly a light shine from heaven and knocked. He fell to the ground and heard a voice.
Mm-hmm.
Saul, Saul, why hast thou persecuted thou me? And so we know now that God had to speak to Paul one-on-one.
That's right. There you go.
Oh, my goodness.
Mm-hmm.
He could have heard
that's
Gamaliel
right.
was telling him all the time about God,
yeah,
right?
Yeah,
Gamaliel
right.
was teaching him about God.
Mm-hmm.
But he never knew God.
Oh.
He never got introduced to God. He never had an encounter with God.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But he heard about him.
Uh-huh.
He learned
he
about him.
God.
He learned all the way
mm-hmm.
he came down
mm-hmm.
from north Adam all the way down to all those generations. He knew everything about God. He studied it.
That's right.
And he knew the letter.
Mm-hmm.
He knew how many of the 600 laws that you commanded that you had to keep and how you had to keep.
Mm-hmm.
He knew all of that. He studied it, but he never met God.
Oh, my God.
He just heard about it.
Mm-hmm.
And so many people was brought up in church and heard about God. And they heard so much about him that they think they know him. Now, you know Shaquille O'Neal, right, Shaq? If you hear him on the TV, you know that Shaquille O'Neal. But you don't know him. You can recognize him.
Mm-hmm.
You can say, that's Shaq, but you don't know him.
Mm-hmm.
So just like sometimes we can recognize God. We can say, ooh, that was God doing that. But we don't know him. And so we get to be the same way. But Paul is saying, I had an encounter with God. Oh, my God. I heard all about him for years. But finally, I got a personal invitation. Oh, my God. I had an experience with God on the road to Damascus. And then he questioned me. He said, why are you persecuting me?
And you know, another thing I love about that, he called him by name more than once.
Yes.
One thing about God, when we around a lot of people, he's not going to get my name mixed up with yours because he's trying to get my attention.
Mm-hmm.
And then I also see in that Saul was going there to do something else. We know that.
Mm-hmm.
But God said, no, you got to change the plan.
That's right.
And that's what we got to be careful at when we make the plan.
Yeah.
God always can change that reverse it.
That's right. Awesome.
So those of you on the call, y'all can comment.
I think
any comment right now? Just speak up.
Pastor Butterfield.
Yeah.
Yes, and good afternoon, Pastor Ann. I just wanted to say that noontime is also very significant because the noontime sun is supposed to be as bright as it can be for the entire day. But despite the noonday sun, a light so bright, brighter than the noonday sun, got Paul's attention and knocked him to the ground.
Wow.
And the message to us is, no matter how set you think you are in your ways, in your thinking, and in your actions, in due time, God will get your attention some way, somehow. And as Sister Ali said, he will know you by name, call you by name, so that you won't have any hesitation that what's going on now is being directed to me.
Oh, yes. Amen. Anybody else? Amen. Yes, that's good.
Speak up,
Pastor Butterfield. I was listening, and something that you said and something that Elder Ford, I believe, just said, this is all happening after Paul's arrest, and he's now showing us his defense. In the very first verse of this chapter, it says, men and brothers and fathers, do you my defense, which I make now unto you. He's showing us why he should go out and believe the way he does and teach the way he does and preach the way he does. So when he calls us by name, he calls us so we go into the highways and byways. You said earlier that you don't need a pulpit. Well, that's indeed true. We're compelled to go into the highways and byways. And that means every time we open our front door and leave our house, we're entering our mission field. And we should know that each and every person that we speak to has something that they need or has something that they want or something that they are in search of. And we can't approach them with the attitude that saying we're a Bible thumper. You can't approach them with a 50-pound Bible. You've got to approach them with love
with
sound doctrine.
My Lord.
Amen.
That's
thank
good.
You so
that's
much.
Fair.
Amen.
That is
Amen.
Good.
Anybody else? Amen. We thank God for that.
Yes.
We got to know that we are on mission.
Mm-hmm.
24/7. The Holy Ghost would summons you, even if you got to call somebody on the phone, whatever it is. And again, when we're dealing with the book of Acts now, we got to remember it's the move and the act of the Holy Ghost through us, through the apostles. And so, so we need to, anytime we read this, read in it the act of the Holy Ghost in and through us. Amen. So we're going to go on. If nobody else have anything else to say, we see we have a lot of other people. But you don't have to. You don't have to. We just want to make sure that we're interacting. So we're going to go to verse.
Excuse me.
So somebody else? Amen. We're going to go to verse 8 and 9. Mama Liz, we're going to do 8 and 9.
Okay. 8 says, "Who are you, Lord?" I asked. "I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom you are persecuting," he replied. "My companions saw the light, but they did not understand the voice of him that was speaking to me." So, He didn't understand the voice. They heard the sound, but they did not understand what was said. So they was in probably puzzled as to what is he saying to me. I don't understand what he's saying.
Okay. Amen. Pastor Butterfield?
Yes, go ahead.
Was she done? Was Minister Lindsay done?
Yes.
Okay. What I got from that was two things. First, he said, "Who are you, Master?" So that let me know that he knew who was talking to him, you know, from the way he answered, even though he may not have acknowledged him as being Master, but he knew who he was. And then on the other, where, because mine, I'm reading out of the NIV, and it said that Jesus and Nazareth say, "I'm the one who you're hunting down." And he said, and then when Paul said, "My companions saw the light, but they didn't hear," that let me know that it was specifically for him. It wasn't for the people around you, because when the Lord is calling you, specifically you, and I don't care who's around you, you could be in a room full of people, like he was with all his companions, but if I'm talking to you, nobody's going to hear me but you. And you're the one who we're having this personal conversation with. And it doesn't matter what anybody else says or anybody else does, you know that I'm coming. I have come for you, you know. So that let me know that he was very specific in, I'm here and I'm talking to you. I'm letting you know that I am specifically talking to you and nobody else, you know.
That's awesome.
So these guys who was with Paul, they saw the light. And but they got afraid. And so, and what Elder Ford said was so significant, that the brightest part of the day, you know, we always say if you want to see a light, you got to turn the dark in, right? Right? But only God can show himself brighter than the sun. Oh, my God. Only God can show his presence brighter than the sun at the sun's brightest. Oh, my God. And then Paul heard the voice of God speaking to him. Nobody else heard because it's only for Paul. And, you know, my mind go real. When I think about when Lazarus was in that grave 4 days, Jesus said, "Lazarus, come forth." Now, there was a lot of Lazarus in that grave. There's a lot of Lazarus that I believe had died before.
But only one of them.
But the one that God, that Jesus saw, is the only one who got up.
The only one that was going out. Yeah.
So when he calls you, you're going to know that it's the voice of God.
You know, another thing the Bible says, "My sheep knows my voice." So therefore, Lazarus, even though he recognized Christ's voice, he recognized it. So when it says that they heard the voice, but they did not see no one, I hope I'm not getting
wrong.
So
they saw the light, but they didn't hear the
voice. Read that again. I'm sorry.
Yeah, they saw indeed the light,
and were afraid, but they hear not the voice of him that spoke to me.
Okay. They saw a light, but they saw no one.
That's right.
That was there. Mm-hmm. So can you imagine them thinking that Paul, man, who you talking to? You crazy. you know, you sitting around someone, you like, who's he talking to?
She's
crazy. I don't see no one there.
Right.
But God had an encounter particularly with him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And when God got an encounter with me, he don't need you, the bishop, the apostle, and nobody else to interact.
Amen.
All he needs is my attention, and he had Paul's attention.
Mm-hmm. Yes, yes.
And so that bright light was to get Paul's attention.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I heard somebody used to in their mess used to say, "You running and nobody chasing you, and you crying and nobody did anything to you." And so Paul, when God is moving on you, you got to be careful because people would think something is seriously wrong with you. You know, you can be in a conversation and they talking to you and you just, your hand go up and you don't even know your hand go up. But they don't understand what's going on with you.
Mm-hmm.
They don't know what's wrong. And they may not say nothing to you, but then they get behind your back. Ooh, what's wrong with you? What's wrong, Butterfield? So they didn't know what Paul was hearing. They didn't know Paul was, and then now he's going to speak out now.
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
mm-hmm.
My God, they really think he done lost it then, right?
Well, now, but that's kind of like in the church here, and somebody just break out and start running. And some folks sitting in the seats may be saying, now, what is wrong with them? You know, but God done said something.
That's right.
God done spoke. The Spirit done touched. And that's the reason. Or somebody may be shouting. People shout for different reasons. But I'm just saying, when you know that Spirit is moving, that means that God done spoke to that person.
Mm-hmm. There's so many people today that don't understand when we as Christians raise our hand. That's the international sign of surrender. And when we surrender, we're taller than we've ever been in our lives because we're on our knees before the King of Kings.
Amen.
And so the question Paul is, why are you persecuting me? Then he says, now, let me let you know who's talking to you.
Right. Mm-hmm.
I don't want you to be confused. He said, I am Jesus of Nazareth.
Mm-hmm.
So now Paul, he didn't say I'm God, right?
Right.
Because Paul ain't had no problem with God. So he didn't say, I'm God. He said, I am Jesus. And he's going to say, which city he from? You know, because a lot of people named Jesus back then.
That's right.
Don't get it confused. I'm telling you, I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom thou persecuted.
Oh, Jesus.
Paul is letting them know that this is what happened to me. Jesus himself came to me and told me and asked me, you persecuting me. So y'all who persecuting me now, y'all in the same boat I was in.
Right.
Y'all getting the message? So I understand why y'all coming after me, because I was in the same boat. I was coming after y'all. I was coming after anybody who said the name of Jesus. And so he said, of Nazareth, whom thou persecuted me? Now, they didn't hear nothing, but they know that Paul was in a conversation with somebody.
Right.
Somebody has gotten Paul's attention. He on the ground, and he's looking around, in dismay. So they in dismay themselves. Wonder what Paul's doing. Man, get up off the ground. What's wrong with you?
My Lord.
Oh, my God. But this whole thing happened now, and nobody, they didn't know what to do, what to say. But Paul is just relating now. This is what happened to me.
Yeah, exactly.
Amen. Any other comment?
Yes, Pastor Butterfield. You know, you're so right, because I've been in situations that I, if I don't spend time with God, and if I don't get in that word, and once I'm in the word and I commune with God and sit and be still and listen to his voice, I'll get confused. And then sometimes, like I said, I've been in a situation that I want to say something, and I was like, you know, God told me something to say to somebody, and I'm like, now, is this God speaking to me, mm-hmm. or I don't want to, you know, I don't want to be embarrassed, but, you know, when you know God and you enter God and you're not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, and, you know, you just go before, excuse me, but it's been situations like that, but now by me spending time with God and knowing God and into his word, and not when I just read the word, I don't get up and move. I sit still and he'll speak to me. Mm-hmm. I know his voice now, you know, mm-hmm. so it's so important to spend time with God, and that, you know, he know you and you know him. It's just like a relationship. That I was the other day, I had misplaced my debit card, and I didn't know where my debit card was. I just couldn't remember the last place I had it.
Mm-hmm.
And the Holy Spirit told me to, and I was sitting on this bench, and the Holy Spirit said, "There it is, right there."
What?
And I was like, "Right there." I went and looked in those pants pocket, and it was right there. I said, "Look at God." So it's so important that, you know, his voice, and you spend time with him, and that makes a difference. That destroys the yoke.
Yes, it makes a difference.
Thank you. And it's important. That's why prayer is so vital
mm-hmm.
for the life of a believer.
Mm-hmm.
It is so vital because we got to get to know the voice of God.
Mm-hmm.
Because, like I said all the time, it's three voices going to talk to you.
Mm-hmm.
You got yourself going to sell you a good message. He's going to sell you a good. He's going to give you a good feeling about what you want, because mm-hmm. you already want that thing.
Yes, right.
And you got to know the voice of God. Then you got to know the voice of Satan. Mm-hmm. The Satan going to come smooth just like yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And say, "Yeah, do that, man. No, don't matter what nobody else telling you. Don't let nobody tell mm-hmm. you what to do. Nobody control you." And then you feel like, "Yeah, you know you're right.
You know you're right.
That sounds pretty good to the flesh."
Mm-hmm.
But you know in this spirit
mm-hmm.
that you, in this life, you can't do what you want to do.
Yeah, yeah.
You can't say what you want to say. You got mm-hmm. to know that. So when a voice comes to tell you, do what you want to do, that's a clue right there. That's the dangerous ground. That's some dangerous ground. You can't do what you want to do.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus didn't do what he wanted to do,
mm-hmm.
and he was God in the flesh.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of times he didn't even say what he wanted to say.
Mm-hmm.
He just said what the scripture said.
Mm-hmm.
So it is good that we know and got to know the voice of God.
And so, another point is that Jesus helps us to be able to see that there's going to be areas of things that we don't want to do.
Uh-huh.
We got to turn it down. That was just like when he was getting ready to go to the cross.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't want to go. He didn't want to die on that cross, but he knew that he came here for that particular
mm-hmm.
purpose.
So
he, for the will of God, he was going to do
mm-hmm.
what God has told him to do, and he wasn't going to do anything else. But he was just asking that question, and through that, through the word, it lets us know that there are things that we may not want to do or may want to do, but then we have to just yield ourselves to God. The other point that I wanted to say is, as we are witnessing to people, we have to understand that scripture. And we used to try to make sure that especially ministers would memorize. You ain't got to memorize all scripture, but one or two you need to memorize, and one is all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You need to be able to say that without, you got to go to your Bible, because you're not going to always be able to go to your Bible to get a scripture.
Mm-hmm.
So that you're going to have to just try to make sure that you know those scriptures. You know, confess your faults one with another
mm-hmm.
that you may be healed. These are just some scriptures that you need to kind of know in your knower.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Amen. So,
Pastor Butterfield, I'm sorry, were you finished?
But yeah,
uh-huh.
yes.
There's a lot of truth in what you just said, because that's why the Bible tells us to hide the word in our heart so we're not sin against him. If we have the word hidden in our heart, We know what to say in situations like that. We know how to approach them. And Pastor Butterfield was talking about the different voices we hear. That is so true. But when God gives us the gift of discernment, he lets us know which voice to listen to, because God is going to always tell us to do something that's in the impossible. It's something way out of our comfort zone. Why? Because that's what he does. He goes out and reaches people that somebody else can't. So the people that God has put in your mission field is somebody that your neighbor can't reach.
Exactly.
Amen.
Exactly.
Absolutely.
Good.
Absolutely.
Good job.
Absolutely. Amen. So, Ella Ford, you want to do verse 10 and 11?
Yes, Pastor. 10 and 11.
Uh-huh.
This is from the New Living Translation. I asked, "What should I do, Lord?" And the Lord told me, "Get up and go into Damascus, and there you will be told everything you are to do." I was blinded by the intense light and had to be led by the hand to Damascus by my companions.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I see these verses telling me that because of his encounter with Jesus, this powerful man who used to give orders is now taking orders from the Son of God. And it was such a humbling experience that he asked, probably for the first time in his life, "What should I do?" And in this case, he was asking the Lord. And the Lord gave him very specific instructions to go into Damascus. And when you get there, everything will be told to you. But I'm also looking at verse 11, where Paul talks about he was blinded by the intense light. I would venture to say that not only was Paul physically blinded, Jesus pointed out to him that he was also spiritually blinded. And this is why he needs to now humble yourself. Do what I tell you to do so all can be revealed.
Mm-hmm.
And let's see how God will do a work in your life to save others.
My Lord. Ooh, that's Amen. Awesome.
Oh, I got something.
Now, when Paul asked the Lord, "Who are you?" that'll let you know, hey, Paul, you're showing lots of humility now. You're becoming humble. Now you realize, man, it's not just about you now. I know you was on your way to do something that you didn't have no business doing, but now you've been shook up now. Now sometimes the Lord has to drop us all the way down to the ground in order to get our attention. So therefore, Paul is ready to surrender to whatever God wants him to do.
Mm-hmm.
He may not understand it, but he's ready to surrender.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Anybody else?
Yeah, and Paul didn't freak out because he was blinded. He went on and to do what God had told him to do. So many times when God tells us to do something and it causes something in our physical, it freaks us out. Even today you see it in Christians. We have to trust what God is saying to us, just as much as Paul shows that he trusted God.
Amen.
Wow, that's
Amen.
A good point.
Amen.
Freak us out. Sometimes he just freak us out.
I know. Because now we got to understand Paul at this at this time.
Mm-hmm.
He was a man in charge.
Mm-hmm.
Always, he was the one telling people what to do.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
now, blind,
mm-hmm.
somebody got to lead you. That's
right.
You're talking about humility.
Oh, my God.
That's a switch now. He got to change all his thinking.
Yeah.
He got to change all of that from being the one who telling what to do by somebody telling me where to go.
Where to go.
And,
we don't like that.
Oh, my goodness.
No, we don't like that.
We don't.
When we're telling people what to do, and now someone beneath us trying to tell us what to do, it becomes a problem.
Yeah.
Somebody else guiding you.
Somebody else guiding us, leading and guiding us. But God, now we got to understand this now, because now he's blind.
Mm-hmm.
So now he has to learn how to be led.
Mm-hmm.
Take this good now. He has to learn now. God will teach us. Oh, my God. So now he got to learn how to be led.
Mm-hmm.
Because now the Holy Ghost is his paraclete.
Mm-hmm.
His Holy Ghost is the one who's going to be leading and guiding.
Mm.
So now if you don't know how to be led, you're going to have a fight.
That's going to be a problem.
So God puts Paul in school.
Mm-hmm.
Now where he's blind,
mm-hmm.
so he's got to learn to be led.
Oh, my God.
You can't be blind and try and tell somebody where to take you.
My Lord.
You can't be, and we got people in the church house blind.
Blind.
But trying to tell the pastor what to do.
Right, right, right. Mm-hmm.
Blind.
Mm-hmm.
Trying to tell everybody else what to do.
Mm-hmm.
And you hitting your head against the wall. You can't see that big knot on your forehead.
Mm, my Lord.
Hitting yourself against the wall. But so when God blinds us, it's not to hurt us.
Mm-mm.
It's to help us. It's
mm-hmm.
to move us to another place where now we can learn. Now we can learn that what I need to do right now is to learn how to be led.
Got to slow down.
Mm-hmm.
That just got my attention on. It's bad enough when you physically could look blind and spiritually look blind.
Oh, Jesus.
But, honey, we need to make sure those spiritual eyes is always open. Because that's going to soul direct us in the right direction.
That's right. That's right.
Amen. Being physical.
Paul had a very strong lesson himself here. He was learning that it was true that where God said, humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up.
Mm-hmm.
Paul being humbled in a way.
Yes.
Amen.
Uh-huh.
Now, all of you online, your mic is live, so I think Ms. Barbara just came on. We got you live. So if you want to comment on it, please go ahead and comment. We are in Acts 22, and we just dealt with verses 10 and 11, where Paul is in a conversation with Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And he's testifying on the events that happened to him
mm-hmm.
while he was on the road to Damascus,
mm-hmm.
and he saw this great light.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And God helped tell him to keep going. Don't stop. Don't turn around. You
mm-hmm.
know, when stuff happened to us, the first thing we want to do is go to a safe place.
Right, right, right.
We want to go back home.
Mm-hmm.
You're on your way to a mission, and then something happened. The first thing you want to do is, I better head back to the house.
Mm-hmm.
Go retrieve to some place that you think is safe.
Mm-hmm.
But God told him to no, keep on going,
mm-hmm.
because God is so, oh, my God, he's faithful. He has, in Damascus, somebody waiting on you.
Oh, man.
Good God. We're going to get to that, man. I want to rush. I want to rush that. But God has it where he already have things in motion.
Mm-hmm.
So don't worry about he was being led by the hand
mm-hmm.
of these people
mm-hmm.
who he was in charge of.
Mm-hmm.
My goodness.
That's
so
good.
Now Paul
That's
is
right.
in a good class.
Mm-hmm.
He in elementary or pre-K. Learning now how to be led.
Because mm-hmm.
he physically now got to be led by these men
mm-hmm.
whom he had control over, who he had authority over. Now they're now leading him.
Mm-hmm.
So let's go to verse, you did 11 and 12, right, Ms. Ella Ford?
Mm-hmm. I did 10 and 11.
10 and 11.
10 and 11.
Okay, so now
yes.
we're going to
yes,
do
sir.
12 and 13. Sister Greer, we're going to do verse 12 and 13.
And one Ananias, a devout man according to the law, having a good report of all the Jews which dwelt there, came unto me and stood and said unto me, Brother Saul, receive thy sight. And the same hour I looked up upon him.
Wow.
Mm. So I'm supposed to sit down on this.
Mm-hmm.
So, like we're going to piggyback from the chapters before, sometimes you have to
lose sight of what's going so your path can be wrecked. And sometimes it just takes just a word. A lot of times it'll be for the, and this verse said he was the Ananias said he was a devout man having a good report. So, you know, he was like somebody speaking, I guess, on behalf of God. And sometimes it just take one word for somebody to speak to you, like being your sight, you can see, you know. So, and that's what happened. But he didn't say it, but I'm just going, but he looked up, and I guess you have to believe. And just in an instant, things can turn around from.
Good job.
Just like that. It can turn like around that. In a
right.
twinkling of an eye.
Good turn. That's right. That's right. Amen. Awesome. That's right.
Amen. Anybody else out there?
I saw that.
This is Sister Cox.
Just one moment.
The Lord made sure that he was in the presence of the right person. And sometimes, you know, when the Lord getting ready to bless us, because the Lord knows the direction we're going to go. He allowed those things to happen. Because if he allowed them to happen, we can't help but to obey. Because if I can't see
there
what's in front of me, I'm going to make sure that someone leads me.
That's
therefore,
right.
The Lord loved me so much. He wanted to make sure I'm in the presence of the right person in order to receive the blessing.
Amen. Amen. Sister Carbs, you can go ahead.
I was just going to piggyback on what Sister Greer was saying about it doesn't take but one word from God that can change everything for us. Our eyes can be opened just that, you know, whatever we are needing or whatever we've been praying for or believing for, it only takes that one word and our eyes will be open and we will be able to see what God wants us to do, which way he wants us to go. And we got to know that it's not just come from the pulpit. It comes from people around us. God sent people around us to speak words. You might just be in a conversation and something go, wow. Okay, God. Okay, God. And that's what you needed at that time. And your eyes will be open at that moment. So we just need to be receptive of people around us, our circumstances and situations, that God speaks in so many different ways. It doesn't take but one word, and our eyes and our lives can be changed.
That's right.
Amen.
Good job. Yes,
awesome.
Yes. Thank
awesome.
You, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
Awesome, awesome. And like I was saying earlier in the other verses, that already had Ananias prepared.
Yes.
So when Saul got to Damascus, Ananias was already ready. He already had a message from God what he needs to do. So when where and the person confused on what they need to do, you need to check out whether that's the person or not. Because God going to have them prepared for what you and so we see where Ananias was there. And Ananias wasn't just any Joe Blow. He just wasn't somebody on the street corner somewhere. He was somebody that had the anointing of God on them. This is somebody who is devout, somebody who's dedicated to God, somebody who is living a life pleasing to God. This is somebody that you can trust the word from. This is somebody that the word coming from them is coming from God. And so he was the man. Wasn't just anybody. Because God's going to use who he will. Now, when he uses you, he's going to give you what you need in order for you to do what he wants you to do. And he said, when I came to he came to me. And he stood and said unto me, Brother Saul. Now, where did he get his name from? How did he know that was Brother Saul? I tell you, the Holy Ghost don't play.
Holy Ghost don't play.
Holy Ghost do not play. He said, Saul, now I'm telling you, I'm calling you by your name. So when a prophet come and call you by your name, ain't nothing strange. It's been happening before. So he said, Saul, receive thy sight. He didn't say nothing else. Man, what's wrong with you? Why you? What you doing coming to Damascus for? You the one who's going to try to kill everybody? He ain't said none of that. He said, Brother Saul, Mm-hmm. And ask him, do you want to receive your sight? He said, receive your sight. Because he got an order from God. Ananias had instructions from God that when Saul show up, he going to give him back, pray that he get his sight back. And all he said was, Paul, brother Saul, receive thy sight. And he said the same hour. It ain't took him 24. It ain't took him 38. It ain't took him 2 days or a week. The same hour, God will manifest himself and prove himself. And like Sister Cobb say, that one word from God will change it instantly. Oh, my God, you can look like things are going, oh, my God, going to hell in a handbasket, look like everything is an uproar. Mm-hmm. But one word from God.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my God, he can peace over you that you won't understand. Why am I so peaceful?
My
stuff
Lord.
Is still going on. But now my heart then got changed.
Mm.
I'm settled. I'm peaceful. Mm. Now that one word can settle all my
all
spirit.
Mm.
Hallelujah. And that's what God will do.
Mm-hmm.
So it looked like we ain't going to get to verse 14. This 1 hour ain't enough. Hey, so we need to stop here. So next week we'll start on verse 14, Acts 22 and verse 14, because we got to stop now and do our offering. Those of you out there, if you can, go on our website and go to give, comeintothelight.org, and go to give. And give your offering and we would pray that God would continue to bless you. And we're so glad that all of you who are out there today, amen, Pastor Fair, and all that cold weather, all that snow he's in, he had fake it robbery to tune in today. And we thank God for all of you, the Fords, Sabrina, Sister Frazier, Elder Frazier, and Minister Cobbs, we thank God for all of you. One's in here, thank God for y'all being here today. We had a great time, and we look forward to that. So get your offering together.
We want you to get your offering together. We want you to go on and pay your tithes today. Go on and give your tithes. You can also give a seed offering as well. And those of you that are online, however way you're going to give, I want you to text me and let me know what that offering is and how you paid that offering. Text me at 770-906-0607. That's 770-906-0607. And even though you may be coming out to Bible study tonight, we want you to go on and give your tithes and your offering. And if you want to give a seed offering on this word that you have heard today, we want you to go on and give that seed offering on today. So God is good, and if you will go on and do that and then text it to me at the 770-906-0607, what your offering was.
Amen. And any last comment from those online, any last comment on this lesson today? Before we close up, we got a little over a minute. Well, we're so grateful that you guys were able to tune in, and we know that God is doing great things in our lives, and even in this time of the pandemic, God is really moving and showing us who he really is, and giving us opportunity to get closer and closer to him. Because our relationship with God is the most important relationship we would ever have, because it would change our lives for the better. And we thank God for our senior pastor, Bishop Kevin Jones. We thank God for his installation on last Sunday, awesome service we had. Thank God for our co-founder, Archbishop U.W. Smith. We thank God for an opportunity just to share the word of God and to get in and dig into this word. And really to go verse by verse, don't just go through a theme, but just when we finish with the book of Acts, we're going to know how the Holy Ghost acts. We're going to know how the Holy Ghost behaves So when we see the move of God, we can get into it. We don't have to be amazed by, oh, is that God, is not God. And we have the spirit of discernment to even help us even the more. But we'll be in tune with what God is moving and how he's moving. So we thank and praise God for all of you who have tuned in. And we're going to have a prayer. Father God, we thank you for this day. Thank you for your mercy. We ask you to bless this offering, O God. Bless those who are here, who came out to the sanctuary to be in Bible study, those who call in. God, we ask you to bless their houses, O God. Keep them, protect them, O God, in the name of Jesus. God, we give you praise, we give you honor, we give you glory. Bless our leaders, O God. Continue to use them for your glory. Direct them, O God, in the name of Jesus. That, O God, that your kingdom will be advanced in light of the world, oh God, that we would know that our mandate is to make sure we see a world without darkness, one person at a time. And we thank you, we give you praise, we give you honor, we give you glory. Bless everybody. Bless Pastor Fair, God. Shield him during this time, oh God, of this snowstorm up there. Oh God, make sure he continue to have power and everything he needs. In Jesus' name we pray. Everybody say.
Amen.
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 Amen. Amen. Thank you all so much.